don't understand it at all. Why couldn't she have bought herself a bunch of flowers or gone to Dr. Nolan and got some of those Valium that half the women in the parish were on then? Sure, that's what women did, wasn't it? Well, decent ones anyway. They didn't feck off with their husband's business rival. Jesus, going off with his best friend, idiot that he was, would have been easier for Dad to bear. But his arch enemy. Talk about adding salt to the wound. Yeah, Mam was a great one for that, though. And to top it all, she goes and leaves me behind, her only daughter. A 10-year-old, that's what I was then. Left me to mind Dad, and John and Luke, the holy terrors. Christ, they used to make my life hell. You know they say kids are resilient and get over things easier than an adult. Bullshit. When you're 10 and have two brothers to look after, well, you can't just have a breakdown or take to the bed or whatever. No. All you can do is bury the pain, put it in some part of your brain and leave it there and hope to God it never gets out again. That's what you do. Of course it does get out again, only you don't see it. Jack used to see it though. Where are you gone? He'd say to me sometimes, usually after sex. He doesn't see it as much now. Anyway, last week Mam poked me on Facebook. She wants to be my friend. For feck's sake, it's not a friend I want. It's a mother. Well, at least that's what I wanted when I was 10. I have loads of friends. 403 to be exact. And another 12 requests. She wants to be friends. I mean, what do you think of that? You know, it was a bitch being a mother at 10. What does any 10-year-old know about mothering? It's not as if I could have asked my best friend how to cook shin beef so it doesn't taste like shoe leather, or what's the best washing powder to use, or how the hell do I stop my two younger brothers from killing each other? And maybe me too. Though there were times in bed at night when I used to wonder if I'd be better off dead than alive. Times when all I wanted was a mammy to tuck me in and give me a hug. But that's not something I would have told anyone, even if anyone cared to ask. In fairness, I have to give her some credit. She never forgot a birthday. Mine are the two terrors. Always sent a card with a £10 note. Not much consolation, though. We didn't have any birthday parties after she left. Dad hadn't time to be organising parties. At least, that's what I tell myself when I get angry about it. And I do sometimes. Why wouldn't I? I'm only human after all, as I say to Jack when he comes home and the place is a mess. It's not easy looking after three kids under 5, keeping the house tidy and having dinner on the table for him. Bloody impossible, actually, to try and do all that and still keep sane. And I must have been a bit mad the other day, because I accepted Mam's friend request. Then she started messaging me, and I messaged back, as you do. I'm sorry now I did. Does she not know where the house is? Why not just call down instead of all these messages on Facebook? Jack asked when I told him. Call down? She hasn't been here for the last 26 years. She'd want an awful hard neck to show her face down here again. Running off, leaving her kids behind. Even today something like that would be shocking. 26 years ago it was a mortal sin. No mistake about it, a mortal sin. Anyway, nobody visits these days, do they? It's either Facebook, Twitter or WhatsApp. Sure you wouldn't even ring anybody nowadays. It's a wonder we haven't forgot to talk at all. So anyway, I asked her in one of the messages I sent her, why didn't she take me and the lads with her when she left? And do you know what she said? Herself and your man were soulmates and she had to go. And he didn't want to be rearing some other man's kids. Soulmates, my arse. It's far from soulmates she was reared, I tell you. Jack's not my soulmate, but I'm happy enough with him. And then, to top it all, at the end of the message she asks, would it be okay for her to visit sometime? Visit? She wants to visit. Then yesterday morning she sent another message. It turns out that your man is after killing himself. Would you credit that? Left a load of debt after him, or so she says. Jack reckons that Nam has probably taken whatever property they had. She had to sell all her jewellery, and she's devastated. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? Jesus, that's my worst nightmare. If Jack went and did that. Of course he feels sorry for her. All right for him, it wasn't his mother that fecked off on him. And here I am, in the kitchen, one eye on the bloody laptop and the other on the pasta in the saucepan, three kids lowing for dinner and Jack asleep on the couch. Jack, your dinner is nearly ready. Wake up. Jesus, you'd want patience. Ah, no. He's a great man, really. Like Dad, in a way. And it wasn't Dad's fault that Mam ran off with his worst enemy. Though I do wonder if he had come home a bit more, maybe she wouldn't have. If he'd kept tabs on her. I could see it happening a mile off. With her heading to the shops and me left minding the other two. And then herself arriving back hours later with Smarties. As if that was supposed to sweeten it. Of course, Dad and herself never actually separated. How could they when she fecked off to England with your man without sight or sound? You see, town was never big enough for two construction companies, your man's and Dad's. And once news of the affair got out, anyone with half a heart wouldn't give your man any business. Dad got it all. As most people in this town have half a heart, thank God. I suppose she wouldn't know that Dad left the house to me. Or maybe she does. Is that what she's after? Maybe she's entitled to it on account of them never having separated legally. Fuck! I'd better check that out. Jack, dinner! How he can sleep with all the racket the kids are making, I don't know. Still, he's knackered, God love him. He's just after finishing a 12-hour shift in the hotel. But sure, what can he do? Staff had to be let go. He's lucky to be still there at all. Thank God for small mercies, as they say. Your man did well in England, by all accounts. Or so a friend of Dad's told us once. On the buildings. Sure, where else would an Irish culture do well in those days? And then we heard the two of them came back to Dublin 10 years ago, cashing in on the boom. They didn't show their faces down here, and we only a 3-hour drive from where they lived. No, too busy living the high life. Dad stayed small, didn't go mad in the boom like some did, which, when you think of it now, was a good thing. He left my brothers with a fine business, tipping along the two of them with lots of little jobs to keep them busy. And I used to think they were ages not expanding when things were good. But they're the type that you have to kick in the arse to get out of bed in the morning. Well, thank God for that now. And would you credit it? The day after Dad makes his will, he falls off the church steeple, lands on the front steps, his whole body buckled and blood everywhere. Himself and the lads were cleaning and repointing the stonework. As good a place as any to die, I suppose. Father Doyle was in the middle of his weekly confessions at the time, so that was a stroke of luck. Dad got his last rites straight away. He was already halfway to heaven anyway, in my opinion. Did his purgatory here on earth. House is awful quiet without him. Even with three busy kids. Got another message late last night, and guess what? She wants to come and stay with us for a while. And there was I thinking that she just wanted to come for a quick visit. Maybe for a cup of tea or Sunday lunch or whatever. But no, that's not what she wants at all. After all the birthdays missed, the wedding, the kids being born, all that, and now she wants to come and stay for a while. Hell, she didn't even come home for Dad's funeral. I don't think that's a good idea, I messaged back. The thing is, I have no choice. I've nowhere else to go. So there you have it. She's no choice. She has nowhere else to go. That's why. Nothing about, I've missed you, and I'd love to see my grandchildren and all that. No, that's not it at all. What the hell am I supposed to bloody well do? I said to Jack last night in bed. Well, we do have a spare room, he said. Spare room, me arse. Tell her to come. Let her look after the kids, and you can go back to work in Dunn's. You're going half daft around the house as it is, and we could do with the extra money. So there you have it. In typical Jack style, the problem is solved. Anyways, I was too busy to be on Facebook today. That mother and toddler thing was on in the town hall, and I had missed the last 2 weeks. And by the time I got home and did the jobs, though to be honest, there wasn't much housework done, and I nearly cut my finger when I was chopping the onions for the dinner. And then I started to cry. So anyway, I decided to message her back before I got the dinner, because Jack's right. I am going half daft around the house. You can stay and mind the kids while I'm at work. That's what I sent her. And I'm still waiting for an answer. And she's read my message 43 minutes ago, according to Facebook. Maybe she's had a heart attack from the shock of having to mind three young children. Could happen, I suppose. Couldn't it? Though, to be honest, I've a feeling that she's poking my two brothers now.
That was Poked by Anne Donnelly, read by Catherine Walsh. A shortlisted story from the 2014 RTE Radio Francis McManus Short Story Competition. The series of this year's 25 shortlisted stories continues on Monday with All There Ever Is by Toby McGrath, read by Carl O'Neill. The shortlisted stories can be heard on the programme website, that's on www.rte.ie/radio1/Francis McManus Short Story. The series producer of the Francis McManus Short Story Competition is Cliona Ní Anluain.